Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome to the Silver Screen and Roll podcast. Usually this would be a post-game pod in which Jacob and I would talk about the Lakers having just knocked off the Portland Trailblazers and get you guys ready for whoever their next opponent might be. But it looks like there's a very real scenario here where there is no such next opponent, not even a game five. So the way Jacob and I are going to handle this, we're basically going to record our quick thoughts and try to summarize the day that was, which might be impossible for all I know. But what we're just going to focus on the day that was and let tomorrow's news happen as it happens. We're going to release this immediately after we're done and see where we're at. But Jacob, we just got to start with where we both were. Like, where were you? Like, what was it like when you saw, I think for me, the first tweet I saw about any legitimate boycott was from Taylor Rooks, where she said that it's game time and only the referees are out here. But was that how you experienced it? And then just like take me through, put me in the room with you as that happened.
Yeah, it was, trying to think of the, I want to say a weird start, but it was just an unexpected, I guess, start to the day, because I was sitting at my desk just writing away, didn't have Twitter pulled up, and I think one of Shams or Woj or someone retweeted a tweet. I don't specifically know who it was, but just saying, like, the Bucks haven't taken the court, and it was one of those moments where you immediately go rushing for your television remote and try to find where the game is. I immediately turned on NBA TV. Huge shout out to them. I thought their coverage during all of this, at least during that part of the day when I watched, was really, really good. Sam Mitchell was really, really – had some really powerful words during that segment. It was just – it was one of those days where everything's just kind of playing out in front of you. Like, I had Twitter open. I was watching ESPN or TNT or wherever the games were supposed to be. I was switching back and forth through the day, just trying to take it all in because, like I said, it was unexpected. Like, I think George Hill said, or at least one of the reports was, that the Bucks really didn't even plan this until pregame. That George Hill didn't bring it up until pregame. So it seems like it all came up pretty fast. Yeah, Shams tweeted that George Hill admitted he first sparked conversation pregame to boycott the contest, and the teammates supported. So I thought everything they did was – it took a lot of balls basically today to do what they did and to make this stand. And you saw pretty quickly that they basically kickstarted everything and other teams and other leagues all quickly followed suit. Every kind of movement needs a starting point and somebody who's willing to take that risk. So I can't give enough credit to the Bucks for the risk they took today, not knowing if anybody else was going to fall in line with them.
Yeah, that was actually one of the first kind of thoughts that came to mind was, I don't want to look down on all that the NBA has tried to do, you know, with having Black Lives Matter on the court, wearing the Black Lives Matter shirts, kneeling for the anthem, allowing their players to speak freely for during press conferences and answer any question about any topic having to do with their experiences of African American men. And even with that said, though, like that's not activism per se. Activism is when there are stakes involved, when you don't know how something is going to go, right? So, mm-hmm. When everybody is kneeling for the anthem, and they know that there isn't any risk involved with kneeling for the anthem, then that isn't. It means something because we have accepted that as a form of protest, but it isn't necessarily true to form activism. And what the Bucks did today, and also like Orlando deserves some credit because they could have accepted a forfeit or anything like that. But what the Bucks did today, where they, without making any announcement, without running it by their superiors or anything like that, they basically just said, nah, no, we're not going to play. This happened in our backyard. And not only, like, to me, what I thought was really important, an important part of this process that needs to be pointed out was, like, not only was Jacob Blake murdered. Like, not only, or not murdered, but shot 7 times in the back. Like, not only did that happen, but in the same city, 48 hours later, you had some little white dude running around with a fucking assault rifle, and the cops gave him water. They thanked people for doing that stuff. And it's like, all right, so as if the police brutality wasn't enough, here's this giant helping of systemic racism just to beat you over the head with it, you know? And I think one of the things that was the saddest things to kind of really consider as all this was going on was the beginning of the bubble and coming out of the protests of George Floyd's murder, coming out of that, like we let our guard down and we actually had hope. Like, we actually thought, okay, yeah, maybe something is going to happen. Minneapolis PD was getting defunded, and we thought, like, okay, yeah, maybe there's momentum here. And I think, you know, as several reporters have talked about, the breaking point today was players let their guard down. Mm-hmm. African-American people throughout the country let their guard down to commit the crime of hope. And then we're very brutally reminded, nope, you still live in Donald Trump's America. You still live in the same America that led to George Floyd's murder in the first place. And not nearly enough has changed. And while, look, I don't mean to ramble here, but while I understand, and I think even the players understand, that change isn't an overnight thing. When you're talking about police departments that have been a part of society for hundreds of years, it takes a long time to get those wheels of change in motion. But we didn't see shit. Mm-hmm. We didn't see anything. And I think that's where players are saying, you know what? We're just out here and we actually are a distraction. We're out here and we're doing all this state appropriate protesting that isn't actually doing anything. So let's actually do something that has a chance at bringing about real change. And I applaud them for it.
Yeah. I think Doc Rivers is post-game speech or whatever you want to call it, presser on, I guess it'd be Wednesday now, or Tuesday, I don't even know what day it is, after their game against the Mavericks. That was heartbreaking to watch. And I think that kind of summarized how a lot of these people are feeling. And you hit the nail on the head on a couple things, but I mean, these guys were using the platform that they were given. They had continued to speak out. They were using every press conference as a chance to speak out on everything. And then to have this happen again, as if nothing has changed, because it hasn't, like you said, I don't want to say a wake-up call or blindside them, but I think they realize that something bigger has to happen. And actions speak louder than words. I wrote down a couple notes, but that was the first thing I wrote down, because I think it's going to be the case for a lot of things in the coming days. Actions will always speak louder than words. They've sat, like I said, and said all the right things. They've tried to keep the focus on social justice. But they felt like they were basically a distraction to what was really going on.
It's hard to blame them too.
No,
honestly, like it's, there's not much I could say if a player was to sit in front of me and tell me that, yeah, they've just felt like they literally got up and were taken away from society to play these games, right? And to be the entertainment that America accepts and loves them for. While all this stuff has actually continued. And yeah, I can see why they're saying that can't quite be right. One of the things that I had Curtis Harris on Locked On Lakers, which you guys can find everywhere you find podcasts. We record Monday through Friday. But he made a very good point too, where, let's say, and now look, the bubble was necessary. They could not have played basketball. Like, just ask baseball how things go if you try to play your sport in the middle of a global pandemic without a bubble. It doesn't go very well. So I'm not saying that the NBA shouldn't have gone through with this bubble thing, but let's say this game, if the NBA was able to find a way to play their playoff games in home cities, let's say the Milwaukee Bucks are playing their series at home as Jacob Blake is killed in Kenosha, and then protesters are murdered in Kenosha, 30 miles away from where they're playing their games. They could play their game and they could go out and be active in the community and then go back and play their game again. But seeing as they're in the bubble, all they can really do is play their game and then talk after the game in those post-game pressers, those one-on-one pressers that nobody really listens to. So, like, for the players, they're sitting there like, all right, what can we actually do? And actually the example that came to mind is actually one that I want to give after a break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Do you remember back, I forget the exact year, but North Carolina was getting ready to host an All-Star game?
Yeah.
And the NBA pulled the All-Star game out of there because they had that backwards bathroom bill, right? Mm-hmm. And Steph Curry spoke out against it. Michael Jordan spoke out against it. The entire league wound up taking the All-Star game away from North Carolina and postponed it for 2 years until North Carolina figured out a non-awful bill that they wanted to write. And I think that, to me, that came up as what the players, I think, are attempting to do here again. The only way, and this is incredibly cynical and it sucks and it's not the greatest statement about our society, but the only way that players can really leverage their platform and enact change is to not play. It's to say, you know what? You know what, Wisconsin? You guys don't want to, you know, rethink your policing laws? Fine. We aren't going to play for the Milwaukee Bucks. You know what, LA? How do you think Los Angeles would handle not having the Lakers for a little while? Yeah. You know, it changes the economy. So if the players say, you know what, LA, you guys want to keep you want to claim that you're defunding LAPD, but then actually you look at the budget and it doesn't really actually look like you're doing much, if anything at all. Fine, we aren't going to play in LA, and we're going to leverage this power, the billions of dollars that by the way owners love to tout when they're asking for taxpayer money to pay for their buildings, right? We're going to take those billions of dollars and we're going to say, you know what? No. Fix your shit and then we'll go play there. Stop killing people who look like me and then I'll go play there. And I think, you know, if I would imagine players are looking at that prior example as it played out in North Carolina, and they're saying, just show us any progress whatsoever. Like, I'm not demanding that police forces get defunded altogether. I'm not demanding that you fire everybody and then rehire cops right away. You know, like, we can compromise on this shit, but let me see some progress, because the thing that got players to a place where they were comfortable enough to go to the bubble in the first place was the idea that progress was actually happening. And then for them to get there and now be powerless, they can't go out into the community. They can't really speak up, because when they're speaking up, it's during times where nobody's really listening anyway. So now they're sitting there in the spot and they're saying, all right, fine. We know one way we aren't powerless. And the Bucks made their first stand. And then what was great to see was, as it happened, you know, not only did the next two games also, the four teams that were playing in the next two games also say they weren't going to play, but you saw the Brewers game get postponed. The Dodgers and Giants were set to play. They didn't play. Hockey doesn't care, because, you know, hockey's hockey. If I haven't heard way too many people say, oh yeah, I used to like basketball, but they got too political, so I liked watching hockey now. Like, oh, solid, yeah. Racist. Yeah. So, you know, I'm rambling at this point, but for me, and the reason I brought up North Carolina in the first place is, even while I know that any kind of systemic change that these players are looking for is going to take a long time, this is probably their only way of enacting it themselves and forcing their billionaire owners, who previously released a bunch of real nice vanilla statements. Those statements are different now.
Yeah. To me, in a lot of ways, this is the pinnacle of the player empowerment era, if you want to call it that.
This is what it actually looks like.
Yeah. It's not about forcing your way off of one team to another, anything like that. The players dictated everything today, no matter what the NBA statements were. They dictated everything across every league, the WNBA, the MLS, MLB, no matter what those statements from the league were, they were the ones who decided they weren't taking the court or the field or whatever. But You're right that once the NBA made that decision then to move the game out of Charlotte, they basically set a precedent that I'm sure is on the minds of the players, or was during the meetings, the meeting tonight, the players and the coaches, because they know that the league and owners are willing, or capable at least, of doing those types of things. I mean, you're talking about, when it comes to the owners, you're talking about 30 millionaires and billionaires, probably more of the latter than the former, that are wealthy, powerful people. Like, if they start making stands, if they start throwing the weight they have around, things will start changing. And that seemed to be the message that at least LeBron and some of the others wanted to get across, at least from what we heard, is that these guys have to start pressuring their owners to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it seems like the statements seem to be a sign that maybe things are changing, because when the George Floyd protests happened, those were all very vanilla statements. The statements that came out today were very, very strongly worded.
They actually mentioned the police.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there was hardly any I read, at least from the NBA, that didn't mention the police. And that seems like a change, and it might be nothing. It might be something. We'll find out at the Board of Governors meeting that might have already happened by the time you're listening to this. But this is what the player empowerment era is about, and this is how you start a change. Mm-hmm. Kudos to every one of those guys in that meeting today, in the bubble right now, for taking a stand and trying to change something, because a lot of these guys are putting a lot on the line personally and professionally right now, and that's not easy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at the teams involved in that played a central role in all of this, right? The Milwaukee Bucks are vying for a championship with a once-in-a-lifetime type player that a championship might keep home, you know? The Lakers, if they win a championship, they tie the Celtics for most championships in NBA history. The Clippers are vying for their very first banner that's worth hanging up in Staples Center.
This might be LeBron's last chance at a title.
It might be, yeah, that too, you know. And you know, for all of these guys involved, especially the teams and the players that have played central roles in all of this, you know, it was always disingenuous, and it was always shitty people who were making this argument. It was like, yeah, but let's actually see them sacrifice something. Well, here you fucking go.
Yeah.
You know, like, here you go. This is where, you know, the Clay Travises of the world and the Will Canes of the world, like, you guys just got to shut up for a bit. You guys have been, your mic is now off for a little while. You guys don't get to talk. And like you said earlier, kudos to the NBA and the Bucks and every team for following suit. And like the other thing too, people are probably going to point to the you know, players not being on the same page in that meeting, and that some players and teams weren't happy that the Bucks blindsided them with the boycott. And it's like, of course they're not on the same page. Nobody's on the same page on this issue.
Yeah.
The only thing we're on this, that people should be on the same page, is like, hey, cops, stop shooting unarmed black men. That's the foundation. That's where we're starting from. So from there, we ought to figure out ways to fix it. And of course, we're not going to be on the same page as we try to find those ways. And in this case, you know, how the NBA handles getting on the same page or getting close to the same page, like that, that's going to be kind of how what defines their productivity here. To me, what matters more than anything, though, is does this force the owner's hands in saying, all right, we have all this power by way of all of the money that we have. You know, every owner along, you know, every billionaire owner or multi-billionaire owner in NBA ranks has lobbied for something or other previously. Uh-huh. So why don't you lobby, you know, to help out these athletes that you claim to support, that you love to write these statements that you actually support? Why don't you actually put your money where those statements are? And if what it takes is we just aren't going to play until we see that, then that's what it takes. And that's kind of what we have to support.
Yeah. And like you said, we've seen owners donate money to to whatever cause. But yeah, now it's time for them to be public and throw their support behind these players, because they have the players have all of the leverage in this, because they proved today that they're ready to just walk away and not play, and that's in a season that's already going to have a huge revenue hit. That would be probably the final straw, the biggest hit. And money talks, as crappy as that sounds, that's how you get the attention of these millionaires and billionaires, is to stop making them money.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to point out when you mentioned it, but basically the line in the Lakers statement, we cannot love them, or it said 80% of the NBA players are black men. We cannot love them for the joy and entertainment that they bring to the world, yet sit in silence and fail to use our platforms and resources to amplify their voices when they demand justice and equality that America has promised us all but denied black people for too long. That's where we're at right now. And it's time for these owners to start actually doing actions instead of these words and these statements. These statements are nice, but the actions are what we need.
Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Silver Screen and Roll podcast. Like we said, right after we get some kind of decision after the Board of Governors meeting tomorrow morning, we will try to react and cover that as well as we possibly can. This is a very weird and unique and frankly cool time that we're all living in, as we watch athletes, stand up for something that we all frankly should have been standing up for far before this, but
mm-hmm.
Here we are. Please be safe out there. Please be smart, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.